Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe here with you all today. Happy to be along the ride for the ride with you this week. After all, I did miss out on you all last week, didn't I? Didn't even get to guest host the Alan Nathan Show or anything, and Jane, she had the show wrapped up for the 4th of July weekend, but here I am with you all today, happy to be here with you, and guess what? I was with y'all earlier this week, too, on the Alan Nathan Show. That's always fun to when I guest host. It was on Thursday, if y'all want to check that out, but you can also see on our social media page, GetterGETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show, when I guest hosted Alan, whether it's this week or in previous weeks, just scroll on through the posts. And speaking of social medias, so I just kind of did that backwards. Usually that's the last ones I present, but you know what? Let's go backwards entirely. Main Street Radio Network is the page on Facebook that you should look at for the company that is responsible for this program, the Main Street Radio Network. So we want to give them a big thanks. You can go to their website, mainstreetradionetwork.com as well, find out about this show, find out about the Alan Nathan Show. They're also on alannathan.com and on Twitter at Alan Nathan. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this program. We are in our 13th year of distribution with them, actually the 13th year of the program existing. So lucky number. Hopefully we'll make it all the way up to 14, and that will be a much better number to be on, I believe. But given all the censorship that the government is engaged in right now, well, you know, 13 might be the unlucky year for us as well. Let's actually get into a little bit of that, though. So something came up. Like, it was after, you know, I wasn't guest hosting last week. It came up this week on the 4th of July, actually. There was a district court judge who issued an injunction against the Biden administration from meeting with big tech companies because he found that any time they met, censorship happened. So clearly the Biden administration was bypassing the First Amendment protections of its citizens by farming out its censorship to big tech companies. And the judge said, okay, that is still a First Amendment violation, so I'm going to say you guys can't meet with these companies unless it's really important. Let's hear CNN's reaction, though. Clip 4, if you please.
Just reading the words in this injunction, a, quote, massive effort by the defendants to suppress speech based on content, those are the judge's words, calling the present case, quote, arguably involves the most massive attack against free speech in the United States history, Ellie.
Yeah. This is a conservative ideology that clearly comes through in this decision. It's a conservative political ideology, right? We saw some of the quotes questioning vaccines, questioning masks, conservative talking points. But the ruling itself is the opposite of judicial conservatism. This is one of the most aggressive, far-reaching rulings you'll ever see. What this judge is purporting to do is to micromanage, really, the day-to-day interactions between essentially the entire executive branch and the leading social media companies. And in the actual temporary injunction, the judge basically says, you're not allowed, administration, to talk to these social media companies about any protected free speech except for cybersecurity threats, national security threats, criminal threats. But where's the line? Who's going to police this?
For those of you who didn't listen to the show earlier this week, I'm going to dissect this. He actually does raise a good point, in my opinion, but there's a bunch of crap there that you have to sift through first. So what you heard was first CNN's Poppy Harlow, host of CNN This Morning. She was reading from the judge's injunction saying that, well, this is where the judge said that it was a huge free speech violation what the Biden administration was doing. And then CNN's legal analyst, Ellie Honig, he comes in and says that the judge's decision was this politically motivated mess, the opposite of judicial conservatism, as he put it. Well, the reason he says it's a politically motivated mess is because it was conservative voices that were being censored. And the stuff that he cited, he kind of made it sound like the judge was just like releasing this unhinged anti-vaccine rant or whatever in the injunction, but actually the judge was saying no. The judge was citing these things as examples of stuff that was censored. The judge didn't say whether or not it was his own beliefs. He was saying this is the stuff that is being censored. But then CNN's legal analyst, who obviously flunked law school because I'm pretty sure that smearing someone like this is considered libel, was saying that no, actually the judge was saying these are his beliefs and this was politically motivated decision-making on his part. So you kind of confuse that, but also this idea that this is the opposite of judicial conservatism, judicial activism, I suppose. Actually, no, because the judicial branch is designed to be a check on the executive branch. This judge was doing his job, basically, which is be a check on the power of a rogue branch of government. That's what the judicial branch does. That's why we had three branches of government. They were all supposed to keep each other in check, a balance of power, to keep one branch from getting too powerful, going off the deep end. And Democrats in general seem to have, at least the political class, have seemed to left that idea behind, because they keep saying, well, the Congress and the Supreme Court, all of them need to be restructured if they don't agree with the Democrat president. You know, they want the whole government to function as they say, as opposed to how it's designed, which is to keep each other in balance, not let one group get too powerful over the other. And that's actually been, really since FDR, but probably can trace it back to Woodrow Wilson, that has been the way the government has functioned. The executive branch has given precedence over the other branches. You know, you saw it with FDR packing the courts and all that. And it is dangerous and tyrannical, actually. It is attempting to overthrow democracy when you try to make one branch so powerful it doesn't need the other two. And that is totally what the leftists are up to at this point in time, because I guess the only government they understand is tyranny, and the only thing they understand is force. But that's aside from the point. I did mention there is something that this CNN legal analyst said that I agreed with, and that is how he says that it's unclear the policing that would be involved in making sure this injunction is followed. Who's going to be there making sure that whenever the Biden administration does meet with big tech, it really is for the limited reasons this judge allowed in the injunction? And that's a great point, because how is that going to happen? Is there going to be someone sitting, some stenographer sitting in there who's then going to send the minutes of every meeting back to the judge, and the judge will say, okay, you were supposed to do this, and you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have said that? You know, that's still Monday morning quarterbacking right there. The meeting already happened by that point. So does that mean what? Is there going to be someone maybe in the room who, the moment that like someone starts bringing up censoring people for saying the wrong thing that's unrelated to cybersecurity, suddenly the guy's just going to blow on an air horn or something, hit a buzzer, and, you know, mute out the sounds in the room? It's how do you enforce something like this? Because all the Biden administration has to do is say, oh, look at what's going on over in France with all these riots. It's a national security problem, so social media, let's talk about this. And then they go behind closed doors. They end up coming up with, let's censor all Americans and anyone in France who's spreading information about the riots, because it is something that this our government should be a little concerned about as well. And, you know, what are we going to do about it? How's anyone going to know that that's what they did behind closed doors? All we have to go on is what they say. It's like back when we, with the Iran nuclear agreement that Obama came up with, where it was up to Iran to police itself. How is that going to work out for you? When you're the ones who the international community is suspicious of, you're the ones who we think are the criminals here, and you're just going to, you know, pretend that you're abiding by an agreement and allow what evidence we're allowed to see, whether or not your program, nuclear program, is working or not the way it's supposed to. Yeah, you know, you're leaving the criminal to enforce the laws against himself. Of course that's not going to happen. Of course it's going to end badly. So what does the judge have here in his power, in his authority, to actually implement this injunction effectively? I guess it caused initial ripples, but it's so blatantly easy to get past. Again, just there's so many issues that we consider national security matters and cybersecurity issues that censorship is required against. There's so many issues that, like that, that it should, business as usual should have been continuing. Frankly, everyone should have just ignored the whole injunction, except to make, you know, a big media spin about it. And it really seems like an empty victory at this point, because again, what enforcement is there of this? All right, so the Biden administration, what do they consider threats against national security? White people? Climate change? Guns? So all they have to do... Oh, anti-vaxxers, they're in there too. So I guess all they have to do is say, oh, for cybersecurity reasons, for national security reasons, we got to censor these people, and then boom, there they go. They're not violating the injunction. It's clearly a national security issue. it's up to them to, is it up to them to define what national, like, constitutes a national security issue? Because that injunction seems to indicate that, that it's up to them. Do we really expect the Department of Justice to go before this judge every time they want to meet with Big Tech and say, hey, here's what we're talking about. Here are the minutes that we of the meeting that we plan. Is this violate your injunction in your opinion? No, of course that's not going to happen. So again, it just seems to be an empty victory, red meat for the base. I don't really see how it's going to be enforced. Good luck with it, I guess. It sure looks nice on paper. But again, when it's up to the people who you're accusing of violating this kind of thing to tell you if they're violating it, that's kind of a big problem. Boy, at least it's not up to me to tell you that this show's violating any problems, right? But it might be up to the government, though, and that's also going to be a problem. Like I mentioned at the opening of the segment, maybe we're going to be the ones who get censored next by one of these meetings. Who knows? And under the injunction, it might be perfectly allowed if they censor this program. More Silk or Joe Show after this break, though.
Struggling with credit card debt, high interest rates? There is a solution. Credit Guard of America is a nonprofit licensed and bonded company with an A+ rating with the BBB. Credit Guard has helped people nationwide get out of debt for over 32 years. They will reduce your interest by up to 50%, stop collection calls, and roll everything into one low monthly payment. This is not a loan, and you do need at least $5,000 or more in credit debt to qualify. Call Credit Guard now at 800-208-9833 for a free, no obligation consultation. That's right, call 800-208-9833 now.
Cybercrimes like ransomware attacks against schools are on the rise globally. That's why IBM will grant $5 million in kind for schools to boost cybersecurity through tools and training. Now open for applications for its third year, IBM's Education Security Preparedness Grants have already benefited more than 350,000 students around the world. This year, selected schools will also receive enhanced training in AI and cybersecurity through IBM Skills Build. Justina Nixon St. Till, IBM Chief Impact Officer.
Over the past 2 years, the threat of cyber attacks in the education sector has more than doubled. Now, more than ever, schools need our support. We are proud to offer tools and training from IBM Security and IBM Skills Build to help schools prepare for this growing threat.
Visit ibm.com/impact/initiatives/security. This is sponsored by IBM.
Spring is here. Time to get out of the gym and take your workout outdoors. Whether you're walking, running, swimming, or biking, it's important to have a proper warm-up routine to prevent injuries. 5-time Ironman triathlon world champion Craig Crowe Alexander has some advice.
Sprains, strains, and injuries can happen to any athlete. Even a minor injury can affect your performance and derail your fitness routine. One of the best ways to try and prevent injuries is to make sure you prepare properly.
Alexander recommends always starting with a 10 to 15 minute dynamic warm-up.
Activation exercises combined with some dynamic movements like lunges are great for warming up. Focus on one specific movement at a time until you feel ready to go. Be sure to listen to your body and use proper support gear when needed to protect yourself and prevent injury.
The Curad Performance Series Ironman lineup includes rugged supports, wraps, kinesiology tape, bandages, and analgesics to support you on your fitness journey. For more, go to Curad.com.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. So, dovetailing from the last segment to segue into this one, arguably, since we're about to talk about Bidenomics and criticize the state of the economy, couldn't that be considered a national security threat? Because if you say the economy is bad, you ruin people's illusions that it's good, and suddenly it's all destabilized, and that's a major national security threat. So, even under that judge's injunction, technically with some wordplay, you can get around it and censor somebody for saying Bidenomics are bad. So joining us now to say Bidenomics are bad, we have Kurt Couchman, senior fellow in fiscal policy at Americans for Prosperity. He previously served with the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Kurt, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
Hey, Joe. I'm great, and I'm glad we have the First Amendment.
Me too. But going into Bidenomics here, Joe Biden, he's come out several times to try and say that this is all working as planned. Everything that's going wrong with the economy is part of the grand scheme. And in fact, things aren't going wrong. They're going terribly right. What do you take from this?
Well, I would say they're not going very well from the perspective of most Americans. We've got this excessive spending and debt driving inflation. We've got tax and spend policies that are slowing economic growth. We've got even more red tape and overregulation that's reducing opportunity. But if you're one of the special interests that this administration loves, then yeah, things are going okay. They've thrown trillions of dollars at all their friends. They've rigged the regulatory code to benefit the people that they like. And so from their perspective, things are going all right. But that's not most Americans. That's not broad-based prosperity. That's not what we need.
And ironically, this is this sort of, I guess, socialism capitalist or capitalistic socialism, not sure exactly if there's a term for it out there, is the sort of system that, you know, you hear people like Bernie Sanders saying we need. Well, we actually have it where the government's in there picking winners and losers, and, well, everybody loses except the select few, the super wealthy and the politically corrupt. And then you have these average citizens out there who get trampled by it. They're told this is actually capitalism they're being trampled by, and they're fed this lie that the system that is trampling on them is actually capitalism and not the one that they're being advertised as being the solution.
Yeah, this is a corruption of capitalism. It's state capitalism. It's crony capitalism. It's a system where the political class steers resources towards their friends and away from those that they perceive to be their enemies, which might just be people wanting to do their own thing. And it doesn't deliver the growth broad-based. It's a political strategy that's calculated to help them win elections and maintain political power. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. And now, Biden's latest spin, calling this Bidenomics, he's attached his name to everything that's going wrong here. Now, I guess if the media is complicit in papering over what's going on, he has no problem. But people are going to actually feel this, and they're going to associate the word Bidenomics with what's going on in their day-to-day lives. Would you say that's a good strategy?
I think it's a terrible strategy for them. But then again, what else do they have? I mean, things aren't going well. We all feel that things aren't right. So what they're trying to do is gaslight everyone and see if they can get it to stick with at least enough people to help them politically. But, you know, it's like that old Groucho Marx line, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Like, people aren't buying it because they don't feel like what they're being fed by this administration is accurate. It doesn't reflect the lives that they're living. So I don't think it's going to work. I think they're going to try it for couple of weeks, couple of months, maybe. They're going to do the poll testing, they're going to do their focus groups, and they're going to find out that it's not working, and then they'll move on to the next thing and see if that works.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Biden, he's actually needs to find something that works. You think that they'll, because, you know, with Robert F. Kennedy coming along and a sizable chunk of Democrats favoring him over Joe Biden, there's definitely room for Biden to be seriously challenged, so he has to find something to keep the voters. Do you see them having some self-awareness, changing course, actually doing things that improve, or are they just going to go on to the next lie, as you said?
Well, I think they're going to keep trying things, but, I mean, you're right that Biden is not popular even among self-described Democratic voters. He was sort of seen as the last man standing and somebody who's been around a while, so people thought they knew and trusted him. But the old Joe Biden, who was never, like, a man of, you know, sticking to the same thing over an extended period of time anyway, like, he's brought on a bunch of, like, serious progressive types to be his staffers, like people who worked for Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, who ran in those circles. And so those people are largely steering the executive branch right now. So, you know, there is discontent. Will it turn into a serious political challenge for him? I don't know. It's kind of hard to imagine that he could actually serve another 4 years, even if he were to win. You know, the hope is that we find someone who can beat him and be a better president, who respects the rule of law, who will unleash prosperity and opportunity for all Americans.
I guess that's part of some of the government spending and a mortality serum to keep Biden in office another 4 years. But I have to wonder, though, how long can the public, how much more can the public take of these Bidenomics before just getting fed up with the whole system and, you know, making sure that no Democrat wins, no matter how attractive they might be?
Well, the worry that I would have is that, you know, people get frustrated at a political system that isn't serving them, and they do gravitate towards, like, let's just burn it all down. There are some serious problems. There are systemic problems that exist with the federal government, but we need to fix them so that we can get better outcomes, regardless of what politicians we end up having here. And obviously, we want better politicians, and we're working on that. But we also need to make sure that we have systems that push their incentives in directions where they do the right thing on behalf of the public, much more so than the special interests that so many of them are currently serving.
Mm-hmm. And with the government expanding as it is to encompass special interests, I mean, there was this leaked video the other day from the former Project Veritas guy, James O'Keefe, where you had someone, I guess it was from like the BlackRock Investment Group, I think, saying that you could buy any senator you care to for only $10,000. You know, that really sends a terrible message about where things are going, but it kind of, I guess, does explain how we got to where Bidenomics are being touted.
Yeah, so I would probably take issue with, I haven't seen that video, but I would take issue with whoever was saying that, because, you know, Senate campaigns are millions and millions of dollars. The thought that, you know, a small fraction of that can significantly bias their thinking, that's just not the realm of reality. I guess that's the point. But even so, like, the incentives that members of Congress face do push them too much towards serving special interests or targeted groups rather than the public generally. And so we need to fix those incentives with better systems so that they are serving the public and actually creating the broad-based prosperity, opportunity, and freedom that we really want.
I guess it would help to understand how we got these special interests in there to begin with, how all these incentives got into place, and, you know, maybe figure out some way to keep that from happening, some way to make the American people the special interests.
Yeah, well, it's easy. Like, when somebody comes to your office, I worked for members of Congress for 6 years. Somebody comes to your office and they ask you for things, and they've got all these supposed studies that support their position. A lot of members are like, okay, that makes sense to me. But it never has to kind of duke it out with other programs in the way that it should. And so one of the big fixes is, why don't we have Congress do a budget that actually has everything in it? Right now, the annual appropriations process is just 27% of spending, and we wonder why they can't manage the budget. So put it all in there, and then, like, your priorities compete with my priorities, compete with that other guy's priorities, and then we kind of see where members want to go and where they can actually agree on providing value to the people. That's the goal.
Yeah, we certainly need more competition. You can't have what we have right now, where you have massive budgets that are released, you know, days before they're supposed to be voted on. No time to read them.
Right.
Kirk Couchman,
that's
senior
right.
fellow in the fiscal policy at Americans for Prosperity. Appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show today. Listeners, we got more show coming up after this break.
This Men's Health Month, we encourage men to take care of their largest organ, their skin. Plaque psoriasis is a common skin disease that may appear as raised and scaling red plaques anywhere on the body, like the knees and elbows, and even private and sensitive areas like the groin, genitals, between the buttocks, and armpits. Symptoms can include pain, cracking skin, and itching. While it occurs equally among men and women, several studies have shown that men tend to have more severe plaque psoriasis. Chad Cragen was diagnosed nearly 20 years ago with plaque psoriasis affecting multiple areas of his body, including his elbows, knees, and between his buttocks. Chad is sharing his story to encourage other men to talk to their healthcare provider about their symptoms and learn about a steroid-free treatment option that may be able to help.
When I was first diagnosed, I walked out of my dermatologist's office with 5 different tubes and bottles of topical medicine to use on different parts of my body. Managing so many treatments, all with different instructions for different body parts, made my treatment routine confusing and time-consuming. Recently, I started using a steroid-free cream, Zoryve, Reflumilast cream, that has simplified the management of my psoriasis, as I can use it anywhere on my body. I apply it once daily for my flare-ups, and it's really helped manage my symptoms by clearing my skin and reduce my pain and itch too. I also like the cream because it's not greasy or messy. It spreads easily, and I just need to apply a small amount to the area of my body where there are plaques. I think a lot of men with plaque psoriasis, especially if they have it in more private areas, may not bring it up with their healthcare provider. I encourage them to go talk to their provider and learn about the latest treatment options. And don't be afraid to have your healthcare provider examine your full body, because psoriasis may look and feel different depending on location. With the appropriate treatment regimen, things can change.
Zoryve is a prescription medicine used on the skin, topical, including in areas with skin folds to treat plaque psoriasis in people 12 years of age and older. It is not known if Zoryve is safe and effective in children under 12 years of age. Before taking Zoryve, tell your healthcare provider if you have liver problems and about the medicines you take. Do not use Zoryve in or on your eyes, mouth, or vagina. Tell your healthcare provider if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to be. It is not known if Zoryve will harm your unborn baby. The most common side effects of Zoryve are diarrhea, headache, trouble sleeping, nausea, application site pain, upper respiratory tract infections, and urinary tract infections. These are not all of the possible side effects of Zoryve. Talk to your healthcare provider to find out if Zoryve is right for you. For more information about plaque psoriasis and Zoryve, a steroid-free topical that works across affected body areas, talk to your healthcare provider or visit www.zoryve.com. That's Zoryve.com. Sponsored by Arcutis Biotherapeutics.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. So since I didn't do the show last week, had a lot of stuff circulating around, rattling around in my head that I didn't get a chance to spit out. So here we are, a headline potluck segment to cover for what I missed last week. Some interesting items, for example, all charges dropped against Sam Bankman-Fried. you know, the guy who made off with billions and was a money launderer for Ukraine and donated lots of money to the right politicians and was the son of a high-level left-wing activist. Just like Hunter Biden, he got off scot-free. Meanwhile, so this guy who is apparently accused of stealing billions of dollars from his clients, caught red-handed doing it, and, you know, he ran that FTX thing, that cryptocurrency company, where it turns out that some of the money he'd been taking for himself, then the company collapsed and it caused a really bad chain reaction. A lot of people lost a lot of money, and it's all because this guy was crooked, doing illegal things. Well, all charges dropped. I wonder why. Probably because of how well connected he is. Like, I just read his credentials. Donate a lot of money to the correct people. He's the son of a high-level left-wing activist. Exactly the kind of person who you'd expect would get away with a crime of this nature. Meanwhile, there's a video of a black dude pulling a knife on a white man's kids. The white guy was in tears because he called the police and was afraid of having his life destroyed for calling police on a black man. And the black, meanwhile, the black guy had no reason to care about drawing a knife on white children. And this goes to the double standard that we have in this country right now as far as the judicial system goes. If you're well-connected or if you're a certain privileged class, then you don't need to worry about certain things happening to you. Like, you don't need to worry about an angry mob on Twitter destroying your lives. You actually have to worry about calling the police to protect yourself. It's alarming that we are at this point where you either have a choice of a guy stabbing your kids or losing your job, your livelihood, and being on the street homeless with those kids starving to death anyway. And we've seen this sort of double standard as well applied to, you know, directly to several cases. There was, for example, Daniel Perry, where he put the guy in the chokehold because he was threatening all the passengers in the subway car, and that was the only way to subdue him. And the guy survived the chokehold. He just died at the hospital later. It was not a George Floyd situation by any stretch of the imagination. The guy wasn't clearly, you know, dead during the chokehold. He was alive. He lived. Whereas, at the same time, a black dude killed another black guy, and, you know, that was ruled acceptable. Go ahead and do that. It was also on a subway. And it's just, you get these activist district attorneys who, I guess, have decided that murder is okay if, you know, you're the right skin color, or self-defense is wrong if you're the wrong skin color. All these activist left-wingers who are doing this, and it's a total perversion of justice. And then they come out and complain about things ruling on, like the Supreme Court ruling on affirmative action last week. So, you know, I saw some Democrat hit pieces attacking the very notion of the 4th of July and patriotism, right? You know, they said that that was just a Cold War relic, that before that Americans weren't as patriotic. You know, ironically, they were making the argument for states' rights that and the Confederacy and segregation. They were arguing on their side. So, I guess we see these pro-race things, like, for example, the underlying reason why they say that black dude murdering another black dude is okay is because the bigotry of low expectations. You know, basically, Democrats are saying you can't expect these animals to behave any different. Now, I don't believe that. Not language I certainly would use. I think everyone should be treated equally under the law, regardless of, you know, your background, your race, or anything like that. But then the left comes in and says, nope, actually, these people, they're under, that we can't expect anything out of them. In fact, in 2020, the Smithsonian Institute, with the help of black scholars, mind you, came out and said, you can't expect anything from the black community. It's racist to do so. These are white values to expect them to be anything less than savage, anything more than savages. That's the Smithsonian. Black scholars came out and said that. How horrifyingly racist can you possibly get at that point, right? Yet we're told that that's actually being anti-racist. Bigotry of low expectations is being anti-racist. So then we get this weird, it's like they're trying to pretend that, it's like if Confederates and Klansmen pretended that they actually cared about black people. That's what we're seeing coming from the Democrat Party right now. It's rather nuts and loony, the reasoning, and I guess the worst thing is that it actually seems to work. I'll just look at the results of the Supreme Court affirmative action ruling, for example. The underlying premise is that blacks need a white savior. They need this government ran by white people, as they say, systemically racist against blacks, because it's ran by white people, created by white people, to save blacks from the scourge of racism and inequality. In other words, a white savior. And like, some of these people in the media have no awareness whatsoever of what they're saying. You know, there was this this person was a field operative on Twitter. This someone tweeted out, this person that tweeted it out was a field operative with the Biden campaign, and you know, volunteers with the Obama Foundation. And she outright said that black people needed affirmative action to succeed. They need it. Because they can't compete with white people otherwise. This person just outright said, like, one of the most, you know, if a Klansman said that, you'd smack the guy in the face. But it's, I guess, because it's a Democrat who said it, it's okay? No, absolutely not. It's blatantly racist. What the hell? How are these people, like, getting away with this without their own side trashing them, their own side that claims to stand for these values of equality and dignity for the African-American people? Here they are saying such vile racist garbage, and they get away with it. The state of Oregon, for example, I've talked about this before, their Department of Education said, well, it's racist to expect blacks to be able to read and do math after graduation, so we're just going to make sure that they don't have those requirements to get out of high school. What? How do you claim to be anti-racist when that's your solution, like this most racist thing that you've seen in 100 years? It's like they're trying to undo everything that the civil rights movement achieved, all in the name of helping somehow. It boggles the mind. And you know, we see more of that in the reaction to the Supreme Court ruling. For example, this left-wing outlet, The Nation, I'd say they're about a mid-card level left-wing news outlet, online magazine sort of thing. I think they had a hard copy at some point too. They might still, I don't know, I don't subscribe to them. But like, they had this blaring headline that said, quote, mediocre whites, unquote, no longer have to worry because of the affirmative action ruling. So basically they were saying that the best the black community had to offer were below, quote, mediocre, unquote, whites. Again, The Nation is not a far right Klansman outlet or anything, some right wing fascist group. It's actually a far left, radical left outlet. In fact, this article was written by Ellie Mistel, you know, the weird guy MSNBC always has on to call something racist. I like his appearance and I like his name. They seem to go together. But the guy is just a total nutcase or an idiot, one of those two. And he comes out and says that he outright said in the darn headline that mediocre whites were above the best that the black community had to offer. How do you? No one seems to notice this. Is there any self-awareness at this point? Are they so insulated, so inside their bubbles that they don't even see how maybe that phrasing for that headline could be problematic and lead to this conclusion? And then you have, oh God, Joy Reid at MSNBC. She said she wouldn't have gotten into Harvard University if it weren't for affirmative action. that is the biggest self-own you can do. Yet, again, just a total lack of awareness that, you know, what you just said, basically you just said you're an idiot. Great job. But like, they think she thought it was something to brag about. Again, it's because you got insulate yourself in these bubbles and you have no awareness of what's going on outside of them, or perhaps worse, these people are just repeating talking points that they're being given from the top, and you know, they're just so idiotic and incompetent that they're just doing such a terrible job about it that it's coming out basically unfiltered, the talking points from the top, that the black community needs white people to save them. They need the white saviors. And then you have these idiots come out and pretty much confirm exactly that. It is pretty lousy. Oh, here it is, the actual headline from The Nation. The Supreme Court has killed affirmative action. Mediocre whites can rest easier. You can't make this stuff up anymore, I guess. It's gone beyond the point of parody. I know you've heard that plenty of times before, perhaps not on this show, but it really has. When you have a black activist who MSNBC calls in every day to call someone racist, come out and say that mediocre whites are better than blacks in his headline and throughout the piece. At what point did they not realize that? At what point did they just leave reality? Surely, somewhere, someone has some common sense in that party at this point. Somewhere in the media. Are they all just so far removed from reality they have no idea what they're saying, what they're seeing? Are they just so... Is their hatred of the Trump-appointed justices on the Supreme Court so bad that they don't see reality? These are the people who are supposed to give us information, folks.
Rockstar Energy is jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
June is National Dairy Month, and it's time to talk about the dairy aisle, an essential stop for most grocery shoppers. Chef Jamie Gwen has more.
The dairy aisle has always been an American staple, stocking essentials like milk, butter, and cheese. Alternative dairy items like creamers and almond, coconut, and soy milk are popular too.
A recent survey conducted by the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association reveals that more than half of U.S. adults say they buy both dairy and non-dairy products. Millennials buy the most non-dairy items, with 3 out of 5 buying non-dairy items each trip to the store.
Products from the dairy aisle take up half the space in the majority of U.S. refrigerators. The dairy aisle is becoming the go-to place for new items. 65% of parents with kids under the age of 17 say they're willing to try something new.
To celebrate National Dairy Month, visit easyhomemeals.com to enter to win a $10,000 sweepstakes and view simple, unique, family-friendly recipes.
Struggling with credit card debt, high interest rates? There is a solution. Credit Guard of America is a nonprofit licensed and bonded company with an A-plus rating with the BBB. Credit Guard has helped people nationwide get out of debt for over 32 years. They will reduce your interest by up to 50%, stop collection calls, and roll everything into one low monthly payment. This is not a loan, and you do need at least $5,000 or more in credit debt to qualify. Call Credit Guard now at 800-208-9833 for a free, no-obligation consultation. That's right, call 800-208-9833 now.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Now, you might be getting deja vu for this segment because I've talked with this guest on the Al Nathan Show this past Thursday. And if you listen to that, well, more of the same, but hey, it's great to have a good refresher, right? We are joined now by Elon Srulevich. He is founder and CEO of eGuard Watch Company, and he was awarded the Fox Patriot Award for Courage by Tucker Carlson for his work with law enforcement. Elon, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
Very good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
All right, happy to have you. So, in several states now, they've passed laws that, you know, keep children from having being pushed into these gender transition surgeries and all that. And there's activist judges out there blocking these laws from being implemented. And I just have to wonder, do these judges have any familiarity with child psychology whatsoever? You have children out there who say they want to be tacos. Are we going to suddenly stuff them with beef now? What's going on here?
It's super interesting because the reason they're claiming that they can block it is because they're saying that the government should not have a right to step in and interfere with a parent's medical decisions for their child. But they're allowing children to be mutilated with experimental procedures. By that standard, if a child believes they shouldn't have legs and wants to have them amputated, and a parent goes, you know what, my kid identifies as an amputee, should a doctor be allowed to amputate their legs? And should the government say, well, sorry, that's just a decision that's for the parents and their child?
Well, at that reasoning, it sounds pretty sinister, because what happens, you know, if the parent's abusing the child and the child identifies as not being abused, just because, you know, no one has any way of verifying whether or not the child actually believes that or not, or just parroting what the parent says. So this, and this these judges are saying, what, the government has no right to interfere in those situations?
Yeah, it's very weird. And again, it's like you said, it's activist judges that are placing ideology above what's right, which is sadly a common trend with how politics has gone in recent years. And it's extremely dangerous. And again, they're willing to place their ideology above the protection of children. I mean, if the government has any role in this country whatsoever, then it does have a role to protect, make sure children are safe, children who cannot make their own decisions. In the same way that we don't let children smoke, in the same way that we don't let children drink, or consent to all types of things, they should not be able to have life-altering, we're talking about full lifetime, not just, you know, the next 5 years. This is their entire life will be altered by the decisions they're making at 10, 11, 12 years old. It's absurd.
Actually, even younger than that, Johns Hopkins, for example, they gave out signs your five-year-old was trans, and the signs that they gave out, you know, they're so generic. Like, if your daughter likes to play with G.I. Joes, if your son likes to play with Barbies, they might be trans. If they like to dress in the clothes of the opposite gender, they might be trans. So hook them up on puberty blockers and transition them. Like, that's Johns Hopkins saying that about five-year-olds. How can you, you know, that's aside from undoing decades of feminism saying it's okay for women to want to play with G.I. Joes, you know, how do these judges, like, get this ideology in their head that this is acceptable somehow, that these very generic signs that, you know, these activist left-wing judges grew up learning were one thing actually means something totally different. You know, we go from having fighting gender stereotypes to suddenly embracing them and making permanent life-altering changes to children.
Because when something becomes a fundamentalist ideology, it no longer matters if it's rational or consistent. We saw during COVID where doctors were telling you to stay at home or you can't go visit your dying parent in the hospital because you have a risk of spread, but a million people could be out on Hollywood Boulevard protesting for BLM. And those very same doctors were out there not wearing masks, marching with those people. And that was okay. You weren't a super spreader if you were part of those million people cooped up together, but you were if you went to visit your dying parent in the hospital. So the hypocrisy there's no more logical consistency or rational thought. It's completely driven by fundamentalist ideology. So these judges are literally just a wing of that religion, that new religion. And they're saying, this is what we believe, and we're going to put it forward. We'll find a way.
Mm-hmm. And enforce their orthodoxy on the public, like the follow the science people enforcing their lack of science on the public with the lockdowns, the mask mandates, and all that, none of which actually did anything.
And the same for the trans movement right now. The data shows that it does not have a long-term reduction on suicide rates. The data shows that we're starting to see major, major implications of giving children hormone blockers pre-puberty and stopping puberty from taking place. It's not, you know, it's not a shocker that doing that to children is going to have long-term ramifications, but they don't care about the data. They don't care about the science. They'll tell you to listen to the science while ignoring the science. That's the hypocrisy. They'll always point the finger at you for the very thing they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and there's another component to this as well. The increasing amount of people identifying as trans who actually aren't trans, who have just been kind of tricked into it by the fluff that the media has been giving about it, and the, you know, or just seeking it because that gives them the attention they're otherwise lacking in their lives, because these are children we're dealing with. Children love attention. The other component to this, though, is that this increased suicide rate, because if you're not really trans, you shouldn't have transitioned, and it did nothing to help your mental health problems. Well, that resultant suicide rate, that actually plays into the narrative of intolerance and the need to police other people's speech.
Well, the argument is that there is no difference when they have the surgery, when they don't have the surgery, which points to a mental disorder. Right. So if someone has schizophrenia, if you let them change their body to believe that whatever hallucination is taking place is real, they'll still have schizophrenia, untreated schizophrenia. And so gender dysphoria is a serious condition. And it's odd that it's not OK to say that. It's odd that it's not OK. If someone suffers from depression, and we fought for years to normalize people being able to speak about depression, for being able to speak about OCD so that they wouldn't be stigmatized for these things. Saying someone has gender dysphoria is not an insult. It is a medical condition, but we're trying to erase that. That's offensive nowadays. Imagine telling someone who's suffering from severe depression and is suicidal, sorry, depression isn't real, you just need to change your body to deal with it. It's the complete opposite of all of the history and advancements we've made in psychology. It's absurd.
Yeah, it seems to be what this all is about, deconstructing the advances society has made. You know, I just mentioned a moment ago, deconstructing the advances feminism made for gender equality and, you know, the different genders being able to do activities that were originally stereotyped as being part of the other gender. You know, feminism managed to make a sequel. Now this ideology is saying, no, actually, it turns out that everything that was from the 18th century is correct about the male and female roles, and you just need to transition your body to suit. Final word, Ilan Cyrilovich.
Just hopefully more people start speaking up about this and more people stop self-censoring. I think that's the big problem.
All right. And folks, he is founder and CEO of the eGuard Watch Company, EGARD. You can go check them out because we are done with you for today. Appreciate you tuning in to this week's Silk or Joe Show. You can find our website, mainstreetmedianetwork.com, or on social media, getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.